Please be seated. And as they're having a seat, let's all take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We've been looking at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. And we've looked at each of the implements of the Christian armor. We've noticed that we're to take the whole armor of God. We're to begin by standing against the wiles of the devil through having our loins girt with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And Paul said, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." I'm going to ask that you stay in your seat for this time, that you not get up and use the bathroom, that you hold on to your hat and get ready to hear the Word of God and have your heart open to the Lord. I don't think it's necessary for us to get up and down and distract the service. Let's concentrate on the Word of God. Amen. We can sit and watch a movie for 2 hours. We ought to be able to sit for 30 minutes and listen to the Word of God. Amen. I want to say thank you to all those who helped Friday night and Saturday. We had a great work time, got a lot done. And I want to remind the men that we're having a men's conference on the 23rd and 24th in Lunenburg. And I want to begin by telling you there was a man that was being chased by a lion. And he was afraid. And the lion was getting closer, of course, and he just cried out to God, and he says, "Oh God, make this lion a Christian." And all of a sudden he turned and looked, and the lion had stopped. And the lion was kneeling down. And the mouth of the lion was moving like he was talking. So he walked back to join the lion in his meditation. And he listened to the lion. And the lion was praying. And the lion said, "Dear God, thank you for this meal that you have provided. Please bless it to my body as I dine." There have been a lot of talk on 2020 this past week about people having lions as pets and tigers and getting eaten by them. You can't change the heart of a wild beast, but you can change the heart of a human. That's what prayer is all about. If you notice there in your notes about how we can have prayer as a weapon in spiritual warfare, we can start out by believing the gospel in prayer, and that'll bring salvation. The Bible says that if we call upon the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul was in prison awaiting the executioner's axe. And he said, "It's for this cause, the gospel's cause, that I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Do you know who you have believed in? Can you remember a time in your life that you look back on and you can say, "That was the day that I got saved. That was the day that I was converted. That was the day when I believed that Jesus Christ died on the cross, not just for the world, but he died for me. That he was wounded for my transgressions, he was bruised for my iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace and my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I'm healed. I called upon the name of the Lord. I was converted. I was born again. I was saved." Can you remember a day like that? The Bible says you must be born again. Jesus said, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. You need to get saved. If you haven't been saved, you need to know that Jesus loves you, that He's demonstrated His love toward you, and that while you were yet a sinner, He died for you. He was buried and He rose again. We celebrate that this week. Amen? And you need to trust Him as your personal Savior. The Bible says, whosoever shall call with their heart upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you haven't done that, today you ought to do it. We'll afford you an opportunity in just a few minutes to do so. But the Bible says we should be praying. It starts out with a prayer of faith to trust Jesus. And then we should be praying always, it says in verse 18, with all prayer. We should stay on speaking terms with our Heavenly Father. Stay on speaking terms with your God. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. Drawing near to God is kind of like casting a rope if you're in a boat on the shore. And the rope is tied on the shore and you begin to pull and your boat moves. You move, but the shore doesn't move. God doesn't need to move. You need to move and I need to move. Amen? We need to draw near to God. If we draw near to God, He'll draw near to us in that process. But there needs to be a staying close to God, staying on speaking terms with the Lord. Stay on speaking terms. How do you do that? Well, confession. Psalm 66, 18. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. No one can look into his own heart and not see that it's defiled by sin. But if I'm cherishing sin in my soul, if I've gloated over past sins, if I'm purposing to commit sin again, if I'm not willing to abandon all sin and be holy, my praying is ineffective. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If the love of evil is in my heart, if there's one sin, however small or unimportant, which I am unwilling to forsake, I must know that God will not hear my prayer. That's what the Bible says. Now the devil will say to you, well, you ought to respond to that. I'm not a great prayer warrior. I don't need to be a great prayer warrior. Well, you ought to remember the fig tree that Jesus talked about in Mark's gospel, that Jesus cursed. Those fig trees that bear no fruit, after a while will bear no leaves. The disciples commented as they walked back after Jesus had talked to them about prayer. They said, how soon is that fig tree withered away that He cursed? And fire is the fittest place for withered branches, for they're good for nothing, Matthew Henry said. If we make a bare profession and we have no fruit of the Spirit, then how can we say that we know Jesus Christ? By their fruits, Jesus said, you shall know them. Amen? There should be fruit in my life if I'm more than just a bare professor, more than just someone who says they're a Christian. I had to show that I'm a Christian. Confession is needed. We need to appeal not only for strength to obey, but we also need to pray for the desire to obey. Lamentations 5:21 says, turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. The Bible says, delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Hosea chapter 5 and verse 15 would be a good verse to write down in your notes there. God says this, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. David had a time in his life for about a year where he had committed sin with Bathsheba and had her husband brought to the forefront of the battle. You remember the story with Uriah the Hittite, and he was slain. And for a year's time, David, who was a man after God's own heart, wouldn't confess his sins. And if you turn with me to Psalm 32, we can read David's own testimony about that time in his life. Turn over there in the middle of your Bible to Psalm 32. During that time, David was not happy. You know, sometimes the devil whispers in our ear and says, if you just will indulge in that sin, if you'll just watch that, if you'll just take that, if you'll just do that, you'll be happy. You won't be so miserable. Well, the opposite is true. There's pleasure in sin for a season, but its pain is much greater and much more protracted than the brief experience of pleasure that we receive in sin. And David was experiencing that. He spent an entire year until Nathan the prophet confronted him and pointed his finger in his face and said, "Thou art the man," because he was wanting to confront him in a way that he would acknowledge his sin and confess it. And in Psalm 32 in verse 3, David said this, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day, all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moistures turned into the drought of summer. And I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." So David got right, and when he got right, he felt a whole lot better. We feel better when we get right with God, don't we? Psalm 86 and verse 5, "Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon thee." If we're going to stay on speaking terms with God, we've got to confess and forsake our sins. "He that covers his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy." Have you ever considered that your Heavenly Father has great plans for you? Have you ever considered that He has plans to bless you? Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, he says, "I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." You know, I started out talking about these crazy people that have pet tigers, thinking that that tiger can be a blessing to them and that they can have it turned into a pet. Well, I think God has a desire for us to be His pet. I don't say that in a negative connotation. I think we have pets. You know, if you have a pet, if you're crazy and you have a pet cat, I mean a kitty cat, you love your kitty cat. If you have a pet dog, you love your dog. Even if he messes in your house once in a while, you still love him. Jared brought his dog over to show us his new dog last week, and he left us a present in the bedroom on our brand new carpet. What a blessing. But you know, if you got a pet, you love the pet. And I think this about God. God wants to treat us like His special pet. I mean, a pet that doesn't, we don't deserve all the blessings of God, none of them, amen? But God wants to give us His blessings. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on the behalf of them whose hearts are perfect toward Him. He wants to find a believer whose heart is right with Him that He can bless in special ways. He's got a big storehouse of blessings that He's predetermined to use on you. He wants to bless you. He's got great plans for you. And what are you doing? Are you keeping your heart open? Are you keeping a close relationship with Him? Are you keeping your sins confessed? Are you walking with God so He can bless you the way He wants to? Or are you impeding the blessings of God that He's stored up for you by not staying on speaking terms with the Lord? We need to draw near to God. Amen. Who knows what God would do with our lives if we would just stay close to Him. Something else about prayer, and that is that set times of prayer are helpful. The Bible says in Psalm 55:17, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice." Daniel, when he was forbidden to pray, in spite of that prohibition, in spite of the fact that the lion's den was promised to those who talked to anyone other than the king, Daniel, knowing the writing was signed, went into his house, his windows and doors being opened. in his chamber. He prayed toward Jerusalem, kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and gave thanks before his God as he did before. Acts 3:1, Peter and John went up into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, which should have been 3 o'clock in the afternoon, to pray. And because they were with God, Acts 4:13 says, when the leaders of Israel saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. A little time in prayer is significant. Let me give you an illustration of that. A little over 100 years ago, Edward Everett was the great orator who was to give the hour and 57-minute dedication speech at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And after he spoke for almost 2 hours, with the audience in rapt attention, a resounding applause followed. And then Abraham Lincoln stood, and he said 67 years ago, and he went on, you know what the Gettysburg Address that Lincoln gave said. And then he mentioned these words. He said, the world will little note nor long remember the things that he had said. Then suddenly, in just 2 minutes, Abraham Lincoln was finished and he sat down and the crowd was stunned. Nobody clapped. Nobody said a word. They just sat in total silence. And seated next to the president was John Young of the Philadelphia Press, who whispered, "Is that all?" And Lincoln turned and the president said, "Yes, that's all." What's the lesson of that day? Well, we remember Lincoln's speech, don't we? Because it was full of heart. It was full of substance. And I think substantive prayers are those that are not necessarily long and flowery, but they're heartfelt and genuine. Amen? When we come to the Lord with a fervency and a determination to really communicate with God, that's a significant prayer. And that's the kind of praying that we should do. 2 thoughtful minutes of communication with God are more important than an hour or two of reading a prayer or mouthing a prayer that we don't feel. But set times of prayer are helpful. And by the way, trouble is motivation for prayer. You ought to jot that in your notes there. Trouble is motivation for prayer. Are you going through any trouble right now? Are you anticipating some trouble? Are you in the midst of trouble? If you're having trouble, trouble is motivation for prayer. A third grade boy told his teacher, "My mother prays with me every night." And the teacher said, "Really? What does she pray? What does she pray?" He said, "Well, she prays, thank the Lord that he's in bed." Trouble was motivation for her prayer. Psalm 50 and verse 17. "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." God says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." If trouble turns me away from God, then probably I really don't know God. But if trouble drives me to God, then probably I do know the Lord. Trouble will bring you to prayer. Pat and Mike were 2 Irishmen who stranded on the icy waters after a shipwreck on a plank. And Pat, who had a foul mouth, decided that he should repent of his cursing and perhaps the Lord would spare him. Mike thought that that was pretty good theology. He said, "Go for it. Do that." And so Pat began to pray, and he was getting up to the point where he was going to repent of his cursing and swearing. And all of a sudden, Mike turned and saw a ship coming directly toward them. And so Mike interrupted Pat's prayer and he said, "Hold it, Pat, don't commit yourself. Here comes a ship. It won't be necessary." And so he stopped. Trouble can turn you toward the Lord. And if we make real connection, we won't turn away when the trouble is gone. That's a telltale indicator. Isaiah 26 and verse 15, "Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far from all the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. I think many times a nation is blessed as a result of trouble. And we've been in trouble as a nation. We're in trouble as a nation. And we ought to cry out to God. And we ought to lead in that crying out to God as Christians, as believers in our country. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. The Bible says of the Lord Jesus in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, he was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, that is in his experience as a man, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Trouble will motivate us to prayer. Posture can aid in prayer. The Bible says that when Jesus arose from prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. In 1 Kings 8:54, the Bible says of Solomon, when Solomon had made an end of praying all his prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up toward heaven. Jim Elliot said, God's still on the throne. We're still his footstool, and there's only a knee's distance between. That saint who advances on his knees never retreats. We should be praying always with all prayer. Praying always with all prayer. And then be specific with your requests. It's possible to move men through God by prayer alone. God can work when we pray for our president. Amen? Amen. God can work when we pray for Ahmadinejad. That's hard to do, but we could do that. Hard to pray for somebody like that. But we can pray for anybody. Amen? Amen. We can pray for missionaries in Philippine Islands. We can pray for missionaries in China that we support. We can pray for missionaries in Lebanon that we support. We can pray for missionaries in Mexico that we support. And God hears our prayers, and God can work in the lives of those missionaries and around them to help them because of our prayers. Be specific with your prayers. It's possible to move men through God by prayer alone. Praying always in the Spirit. So we should rely on the Holy Spirit in prayer. The Spirit of God helps our weakness. We don't know how to pray sometimes. Romans 8 tells us we don't know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself helps us, sometimes with groanings which cannot be uttered. We can't even communicate it, but somehow the Spirit of God communicates with the Father through us and in us. We can rely upon the Holy Spirit in prayer. He's our constant intercessor. Andrew Murray McShane said, if I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I wouldn't fear a million enemies. Yet distance makes no difference. He is praying for me. Jesus is praying for me. Romans 8:34, who is he that condemns? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that's risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Just think of it. Right now, Christ is praying for you. Christ is praying for you in heaven. He's your advocate. He's your intercessor. He's your lawyer with the Father when the devil accuses. Matthew 26:41, Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The end of all things is at hand. Watch therefore, be sober, watch unto prayer. Would you turn with me to Jude? Right before the last book of the Bible is the little book of Jude. Only one chapter, but it talks about prayer in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Ghost. If you trust Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit will take up residence in your heart. He'll never leave you. And that will make a grave difference, a wonderful difference in the way that you live and the desires that you have. Jude verse 20, the Bible says in Jude, the little book of Jude, Ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God. What's that mean? It means to keep yourselves in the consciousness of God's love for you. Keep yourselves in the love of the Holy Spirit as He works through you to love God back and to love other people. What's the first and great commandment? That you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and you love your, what? Your neighbors as yourself. So the Holy Spirit will help you by prayer to keep yourselves in the love of God. Rely upon the Holy Spirit in prayer. And then he says, with all perseverance. Your Savior wants you to keep praying. Maybe you've been praying about something for a long time and you've wished it had been answered, but it hasn't been. Well, he wants you to keep praying. Jesus spoke a parable in Luke 18:1 unto his disciples, and he said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Romans 12:12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Keep praying. Keep praying. Your Savior wants you to keep praying. Amen? Amen. Set aside a time every day for prayer and pray without ceasing during the day. But have a specific time to seek God and to seek His face and to draw near to Him, confessing your sins and getting right with Him. Our text says in Ephesians 6:19, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So one more thing, and that is ask for evangelistic opportunities. Ask for chances to share Christ, the good news of the gospel. Who are you praying for right now? Who is it that you would long to see saved? Who is it that's on your prayer list? Who is it that you really, really are burdened to see come to Christ and bring with you perhaps for Easter Sunday services next week? Who are you praying for? Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. 1 Thessalonians 2:2, after he was beaten in Philippi, he said, even after we'd suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, in Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, he said, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. And he says in 2 Corinthians, seeing that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Don't stammer with the gospel. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Be proud of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm not ashamed of the gospel, said Paul. I'm proud of Jesus Christ. Let's be proud of Him in our community this week. Let's look for opportunities this week to share the good news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. While Josh McDowell was attending seminary in California, he got to be burdened about his mother. His father had died just recently and gone to heaven. He knew it. But his mother, years before, had passed away, and he never had the assurance that she'd ever trusted Christ. And he became so concerned about that, he thought about it all the time, and he prayed, Lord, somehow give me the answer so I can get back to normal in my life and not be worried about my mother's situation. Seemed like an impossible request. But 2 days later, he drove down to the beach, and he went out on a pier just to have some time alone and think and pray. And as he walked out on the pier, out on the end of the pier, there was an old lady who was fishing. And as he walked up to this old lady in her lawn chair fishing, she said, where's your home originally? He said, why, Michigan. Union City, nobody's ever heard of it. I usually just say, and she said, Battle Creek? Yeah, he said, I usually just say Battle Creek. I had a cousin from there, she said. Did you know the McDowell family? Stunned, he replied, yes, I'm Josh McDowell, that's my name. She said, I can't believe it. I'm a cousin of your mother. He said, could you tell me anything about my mother's spiritual condition, her spiritual state? She said, oh, yes. When we were teenagers, we went to a revival together, and both your mother and myself walked the aisle to the service at the end and there received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And she loved the Lord, I can tell you that. We both got saved the same day. And Josh McDowell was elated. He was delighted. He said, praise God, that's so wonderful. And there were fishermen all over the pier, and they just looked at him like, what in the world is going on? He said, I didn't care. All I was concerned about was the wonderful news that my mother had trusted Christ. Don't quit praying. Pray for evangelistic opportunities. And make sure that you've prayed the prayer of faith to trust Christ. Amen? Amen. Before you leave here today, make sure. Let's bow our heads right now before the Lord. Would you do that? Make sure that you've prayed and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. You've called upon Jesus and you've asked Him to save you. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And right where you sit, you could pray a prayer of faith. And I'd like to lead you in that prayer of faith. And I'm going to ask you, after you do pray that prayer of faith, to trust Christ, to take Jesus as the gift of God. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand as a testimony. I won't embarrass you or call your name or anything like that. But I'd like you to be willing to praise the Lord by raising your hand after you pray to receive Christ. Would you pray a prayer of faith? Just pray something like this. Dear God in heaven, I believe Jesus died for me and was buried and rose again. And with all my heart, I turn to you, Lord Jesus, and I ask you to save me. Wash away my sins with your blood. Come into my heart and life right now. Give me everlasting life and save my soul. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for dying for me and for rising again after you paid for my sin. Help me to follow you from this day forward. In Jesus' name. With our heads still bowed, eyes closed, between you and me and the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you only need to pray once to receive Christ. But if you prayed that prayer today to receive Jesus as your personal Savior, the Bible says, he that believes shall not be ashamed. Would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. Here's my hand as a testimony. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Yes. Thank you. That's two. Anyone else? Just slip it up and put it down. I prayed that prayer to receive Jesus. Yes, God bless you. Amen. Thank you. I hope you'll tell somebody else and let them know that you've trusted Christ. And before you leave here today, I hope you'll go back to the table in the back there, the hospitality center, and get a video that'll help you to be reaffirmed in your step of faith to receive Jesus today. Let me ask you, as a Christian today, are you on speaking terms with your God? Are your troubles bringing you closer to the Lord? Are you praying for a hopeless person who's lost without Christ? How can you leave this place and not have those questions rightly answered? Dear God, we pray that you'd work today in a way that we would be fully cooperative with your will, that we would be a praying people, that we would fight the good fight of faith with prayer, with all prayer. Bless, I pray, every Christian here. And bless these three who have made a step of faith to receive Jesus as their personal Savior with full assurance and a life then of gratitude to you for saving them. We pray that there'd be decisions, though, right now that you would work in our hearts to accomplish and that we would be pleased after we made those decisions, because we followed through by your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together, please.